I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is going on, sucky daters? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I am Dean Ungler, recording from a car somewhere in the middle of Nevada. No idea where, on my Apple Watch. Caitlin actually is getting in the car this very second, but don't worry, we will not be moving the entire time. So, Jared, how's it going? Hello. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday? What? This guy's losing it. It's Friday.
Yeah, but this airs on a Sunday. Get with it, dude. Come on.
Fair point. I think this is the first time in the history of podcasts that we're recording, one person is recording on an Apple Watch. I feel very proud to be a part of it. This is very 2021. Futuristic.
This is definitely history in the making. Hopefully the audio quality is up to snuff. Caitlin just bought some loud, crinkly Starbucks bags, and she is like terrified of crinkling them.
Oh, because, I can hear them. It's good stuff right there.
Yep. I just shot her a look, and I told her that she better take that outside of the car to eat it somewhere else because it's a little too noisy. But we got a great episode for you guys today.
Hold on, I gotta know: are you guys staying parked the entire time you're recording?
Yeah, well, I don't want to drive and like lose service halfway through the podcast.
Oh, that's poor Caitlin. So she just has to sit there and listen to you talk.
I've encouraged her to like get out, walk around. There's a Walmart down the street. She could go shopping at the Walmart. I mean, listen, it's not ideal, don't get me wrong, but this is the life we've chosen to live, and so we're going to live it to the best of our ability, I guess.
I like it. I do like it.
We've got a great episode for you guys this week, though. We want to talk some hot topics with you guys, some hot goss. We've got some great guests this week, and then we'll get to the listener emails, just like we normally do. So first things first, Jared, I think we should discuss this. Last week's podcast, we discussed Peter and Kelly's breakup. This week's podcast, we at least have to touch on Claire and Dale's breakup, do we not?
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, it feels like, do we have to watch out? It feels like there's like this force just breaking bachelor couples up one at a time. I'm like watching over my back right now. I feel bad. There's so many bachelor couples that are breaking up. It's so sad. I mean, the Evan and Carly one was the worst for me. I'm not going to lie.
Oh yeah, Evan and Carly broke up. It's definitely the last like month. There's been a lot of negative energy in Bachelor Nation, and the most recent to succumb to it are Claire and Dale. So we talked a little bit about Claire and Dale, I think, when they first got together. But what's your impression of everything that's happened?
I mean, it feels like Claire was all in and Dale wasn't. not to make assumptions on things I don't know about, but as being a podcast host, you have to have an opinion, or else it's pretty boring. Yeah. Sure. Dude, like, I was watching, I was talking to Ashley about it, and I remember that clip. I don't know if you watched Claire's season at all, but they had kind of like an After the Final Rose with Dale and Claire, where Claire was, like, talking about how she wanted babies, and she wanted them immediately, and they could have kids before they got married, and let's just see what happens. And you could tell that Dale was just internally freaking the F out. Like, he knew that... he didn't know what the hell to do. That's what the problem was. And I just feel like, I don't know. I was rooting for Claire and Dale. I was wishing that they'd work out because I was rooting for Claire. Like, I never met Dale. I have really no investment in Dale. But, you know, knowing Claire, she's been on so many seasons. She's so ready to settle down. She's so ready to have kids and a family. And that's exactly what she was looking for when she wanted to become the Bachelorette. And to know that it just didn't work out so soon afterwards, I guess is good in one sense, because at least like she can wash her hands with it, because I don't think Dale's ready to settle down. But in the other hand, it's so sad because here she is, single once again.
So what do you think the reason for them breaking up was? Obviously, it's just, yeah, but what do you think it was? Do you think it was that there was so much pressure on it?
I think Dale just wasn't as into it as Claire was. I mean, I have no inside knowledge. I truly do not know. I'm talking out of my ass right now. But from seeing, you know, how their relationship developed on the show to where they were at after the show to Instagram, it just seemed like Claire was more into it than Dale was. And I think Dale, not that to say like he was solely in it for the fame, but like, I think Dale just wanted to go on the show and, you know, go on it for a multitude of reasons, just like we all do. Like, Dean, I'm sure you can agree with this. Like, sure, we go on the show to possibly find a partner, but Like, we also go on the show because it's a friggin' TV show, and it's an awesome experience, something that we'll never experience ever again. And, mm-hmm. like, we get to be on TV, and we get to, like, maybe gather a following on social media, and it's just, like, more so now than ever. But, like, you just go on the show for so many reasons. I feel like Dale just went on for the experience, and then all of a sudden this girl, you know, this woman, Claire, fell head over heels for her, madly in love, and I felt like he was always trying to pretend, not pretend, but like he was always trying to make it seem he was on the same page as Claire when I just don't think he was. Granted, what the hell do I know?
Right. I've got a couple things that I want to at least add to that is I find it kind of interesting and ironic in a way that like Dale is, you know, he's like this aspiring host, whatever that means, like whatever he wants to host, I don't know. But now he's kind of like made himself out to be the bad guy. And it's like, who's going to want to hire this guy after he, cause I mean, I'm only assuming that he's the reason that they broke up, right? Like he probably was the one that made the decision for them. Judging by Claire's Instagram, where she said that I've just was made aware of a mutual statement by both of us.
That was pretty messed up.
Yeah. It sounds like Dale is the one that kind of took it in his own hands to say we're breaking up. And so it's like, I feel like he's kind of shot his own career in the foot before he even had the chance to get going. Because, you know, now that he's a public figure, like he's going to be scrutinized for all this stuff and rightfully so, don't get me wrong. And then my second thought on that too, is I don't think there's a problem with going on the show to get like Instagram clout or whatever, you know, like as long as that's not your only, main objective. Like I was pretty honest about going on Paradise the second time just to like maintain an Instagram following so I could continue to live the lifestyle that I was living of like traveling and, you know, all that stuff. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I do think it's bad when you go on a show and then you end up getting engaged to someone and then, you know, you're still prioritizing like Instagram fame over your engagement. And I think that's really, you know, and we're all just kind of shooting in the dark here because we don't know exactly what happened. But let's say Dale went on the show to gain like some notoriety. He did that. And then he, if you want to do that, that's fine, but then just don't get engaged at the end of it. So
or at least just be honest with your partner. Be like, hey, listen, I'm still developing feelings for you. I really like you. I don't think I'm where you are at right now, which to Claire was like having kids tomorrow. I think that was probably his downfall. I would assume that he was just not on the same page and was probably nervous to admit that because everything happened so fast. And I get it, dude. Like, you know, especially in this bachelor world, things just happen so freaking fast. And then before you know it, you're like, holy hell, I'm engaged and I don't know how I feel about this girl. I don't know where I'm at. Is this what I want? You know? And so I get that like things kind of spiral out of control, but at the same time, like you said, you got to just be upfront and honest. Maybe that's what happened. I also just don't, if Claire did not have any participation in his rebuttal, his, you know, announcement, dude, right. That's so messed up because I'm reading it right now and it starts off like, I wanted to share with you that Claire and I have decided to go our separate ways. Fine. Totally fine. But then he goes, we appreciate the love and support. Right. We strongly believe in leading with love and always remaining.
Yep.
We only hope the best for things for one another.
For each other.
And it's like, bro, you cannot say that if Claire was not involved in this statement.
I the last part too is really what stuck with me when he says, we really hope the best for each other. When of course he hopes the best for Claire, but he's basically saying Claire hopes the best for me too. It's just like, it's a little like narcissistic, I think. It's funny too, to think about their situation in a weird way is like a watered down version of yours and Ashley's situation, right? Like guy and girl go on TV show, girl really wants guy. Guy doesn't maybe necessarily want her at first. I don't know. It's like a different version, obviously, but it's somewhat similar.
See, I think it's more similar to your relationship because you went on Paradise. You guys had a relationship. Caitlin wanted to pursue that relationship. You didn't. You left. And then you, because maybe it's not similar. I don't think it's actually similar to either one of our relationships. Now, like, I'm thinking out loud here.
I think the only similarities we can draw between the three situations is that the guys are assholes.
Oh, obviously. Guys are always the assholes. We know this from our 3 years of doing this podcast.
I think you can draw that similarity across most relationships. But not to say, you know, women are absolved from being jerks.
No, they're not perfect.
Caitlin just looked Caitlin just looked at me, nodded her head, and said, "Yeah, I'm a real big jerk sometimes."
I wonder if Ashley would do that. Ashley, can you be a jerk sometimes? No, can you?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, she said yeah. See, we're all in the wrong sometimes.
Caitlin, can you be a jerk sometimes?
Never.
Oh, she says never. Unbelievable.
I actually kind of believe that. She's so sweet and innocent. Like, I can't see. Has Caitlin ever been, like, angry?
Yes, she has been angry very, very, very often. She's angry right now, actually, as a matter of fact. So maybe we should move on to another topic before she lashes out and does something. I'm scared.
I think to end that topic, just to say, of course, we're wishing the best for Claire. And I'm wishing the best for Dale, too. Like, I don't know. There's all these rumors that he cheated on her. But then somebody are saying, no, that's just his friend. And they've been friends for a while. And, like, I have friends that are girls, too. So, like, I kind of get that. I don't know what the truth is, but more importantly, I just hope the best for Claire. Obviously, we both have. Have you ever met Claire?
I was on Bachelor Winter Games with her.
That's right. So we both are friends with Claire, and we just know, like, I know how ready she is to find a guy, and I was really hoping it was Dale, even though, you know, there were certain red flags thrown up in the beginning, but didn't work out. So just wishing the best for Claire. And Dale too. Wish, like, I don't want to hate on Dale.
Definitely wishing the best for Claire, but that's where we differ. I'm not wishing the best for Dale. He needs to learn the error of his ways.
Yeah, all right. I can agree with that. If what we're spewing is true, like, yeah, he needs some, you know, some sense of learning throughout this thing. But also at the same time, I don't want the dude to, like, be crying every night by himself. That would be sad.
I don't think he's crying. I think that's also another reason. Like, I haven't seen much, but I have seen, like sometimes on my For You page, things pop up, and he's, like, smiling, talking to TMZ. And you're like, bro, you're like, that's not cool.
Oh, and he, like, didn't walk away either. He pulled his mask down and kind of walked with them. And was like, bro, don't, like, it's just not a good look for you, man. Just walk away. Go. Don't say anything. Just say, I wish the best for Claire. And then, like, you know, move on.
And that's why I'm saying he shoot himself in the foot. He just keeps shooting himself in the foot. And, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should just move on. But yeah, I agree. Like, you definitely want the best for both of them. Like, hopefully he realizes the mistakes he's made. If he's made mistakes, I'm sure Claire made mistakes too. But yeah, at the end of the day, you just want the best for both of them. But,
well, I do have a question for you, Dean.
Yeah.
Have you and Caitlin watched Bridgerton?
Bridgerton, no, but I keep hearing about it.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you guys watch it. Ashley watched it.
Caitlin just silently clenched her fist and said, oh, it's so good. Have you watched it? Oh, yeah, she did watch it without me once. I remember she was, like, unpacking the house and cleaning things, and while she was doing that, she was packing, and then she came in and raved about how good it was.
Well, there was an InStyle article about Drew Barrymore who said that Bridgerton inspired her to get back on dating apps, which is quite interesting because from what I've seen from the show, it's a little risque, to say the least. I don't know if Caitlin can speak upon that, but it seems like porn for women. That's how Ashley described it to me. I'm not describing it like that. That's the way Ashley, my wife, who has watched the show, told me it was.
Sounds like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. That's what I don't know. It looks like it. It's just like this one dude who's, like, smoking hot, and it looks like he's just sleeping with, I don't know if it's one woman, multiple women. I don't know the show all that well. But, like, I don't know. Apparently it inspired Drew Barrymore to get back on dating apps. So if you're out there and you're on you're a dating app,
what app do you think Drew Barrymore is on?
Oh, definitely. What is that one?
Raya.
Oh yeah. 100 times.
You don't think she's on, like, Bumble or something?
I mean, if Drew Barrymore is on Bumble, huh?
What show?
Bridgerton. Ashley's like poking her head in, of course.
What do you mean it's a whole bunch of girls trying to get with one guy?
No, is it one? All right, I don't know the show concept. Is it? I just know that really good looking guy.
Yeah.
And does he just sleep with one woman?
Yes. Oh, that's okay. That's why it's so great.
Okay, but it's very risque. Am I wrong? Great.
In the bounds of marriage between
they're
two
married?
Of them.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. They didn't do anything until they were married.
They didn't do anything until they married, and then they have, like, S&M.
Exactly. Not S&M at all.
How is it not S&M?
Jared, it's not that. It's not man pornography.
From what I've
seen. This is what we're talking about. This is the difference. Because one, they're very in love. And two, it's like romantic sex. It's not, like, bounded. It's like she's in, like, an empire-waisted dress in the corset.
I don't know.
And there's
I
like guess a I fireplace could... burning in the background. Fireplace. It is definitely girl stuff.
So that's what you want? You want a stone fireplace in the background while you're wearing a corset?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if we can. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I think you don't even mind that. You'd like that.
Not that.
You'd like a corset in a fireplace.
A corset in a fireplace? Yeah. What is a corset? Do you know what a corset is, Dean?
Yeah, of course. It's the thing that gives the women the hourglass figure.
Oh, that. Okay, yeah, okay. I know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, no, I like that. All right. Maybe I can get down with this show.
It's so nice that we just had a glimpse into a regular conversation with Ashley and Jared.
Yeah, this is a daily thing for us. It's very nice. Drew Barrymore is definitely not on Bumble. She's definitely on Raya.
Yeah, I think the article said that she's on Raya.
Why would Drew Barrymore be on a dating app, though? Come on now. Is she going
to
meet?
Yeah, I mean, maybe she just wants to meet like a regular guy. I don't know. Who knows?
Well,
what kind
of
life
does
Drew Barrymore live? I don't know. Honestly, ever since 51st Dates, I have no idea what Drew Barrymore has done.
She's done, yeah, that's a great question, actually. What the hell has Drew Barrymore done recently? I don't know. But more importantly, I hope she finds a guy. And then maybe she does want, like, a construction worker. Like, who knows? Nothing wrong with that. Zac Efron, did you hear his story? Our boy Zac Efron?
No.
He's dating a waitress that he met while out to dinner one day.
Wow.
I think that's the story. I'm also paraphrasing.
I mean, that's great for the waitress to be able to, like, see Zac Efron come in, wait on him, and then end up dating him. That's pretty great. What about, there's also some topical news. Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck have recently split.
Yeah, I mean, you know my love for Ben Affleck. I just feel like a kinship with that human being. Like, he's a Boston boy. He's a Red Sox fan, Pats fan. He's friends with Tom Brady. He defended Tom Brady to no end throughout Deflategate. He was Batman. Like, this guy, he just, like, speaks to me.
He was a bad Batman, but
get out of here. He was such a good Batman.
After Christian Bale, there's just no comparison, in my opinion. But
well, anyway, we agree to disagree. But one time I posted a clip of Ben Affleck on ESPN where he's talking about Tom Brady. And he talks about how Tom Brady's God. It's very funny. So I posted it and I tagged him in it and he liked it on Instagram. Now, granted, does Ben Affleck run his own Instagram account? Probably not. But as you can see right there, there it is.
I didn't even think he had an Instagram account because I was creeping on Ana de Armas's to see like how the split went on the Instagram for them. And he wasn't tagged in anything. So I was even surprised.
He probably doesn't run his own Instagram. He probably just has it for like promotional reasons because he has like 4 million followers. So like if he's doing a new movie or something like that, he'll just post it on there and get free marketing.
Ben Affleck has to have more than 4 million followers on Instagram.
He has 4.4. He doesn't use it. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
But I also think, listen, I mean, it's sad. I hope I want Ben to be happy. Like I said, I feel for a certain kinship. I'm pretty sure that like him and I would be best friends if we met in real life. But point is, I think him and Jennifer Garner, I just really want them to get back together. Like, that's one of those couples that you're like, I get it. I'm just rooting for them, but it doesn't matter because I want them to be happy. And if they're happier without each other, then I get it. But like him and Jennifer Garner are just a great couple. They have kids together. They seem so happy. I want them to be together, you know? And then he even said one time his greatest regret was getting a divorce from Jennifer Garner. So sweet. Yeah. Do you ever hear the story he told about how one time he was late to his kid's birthday party and he, like, his agent forgot gifts for the kids. And he was like, so here I am, like a divorced dad going to a birthday party without the gifts, like, and I have to tell them. And so apparently... And then he told a story a week before he was filming or doing something with Adam Driver, who's obviously Kylo Ren in Star Wars. And Adam Driver sent gifts to the house on his behalf saying like, oh, I met your dad, wanted to give you some stuff. And he gave the kid a lightsaber and like a Kylo Ren doll. And Ben Affleck starts like tearing up while he tells this story because he felt like Adam Driver saved the day because he made Ben Affleck the cool dad that day, even though his, you know, assistant forgot the gifts. It was like such a cool story. So I'm always rooting for that guy. And I really want him and Jennifer Garner to get back together.
Do you want to know who I think Ana de Armas would be really good with?
Who?
One of my best friends, Jackson Chofembri. So Ana de Armas, if you're listening to this, Jackson's a really nice guy. He's got a normal job. He's really kind, really thoughtful. Just give it a chance. Maybe
okay,
consider
well,
the idea.
Let's get, how old is he?
Jackson is 32.
Okay, so he's 32.
Or Ana. Is it Ana or Ana? I think it's Ana. Ana de Armas. And she used to live in Venice. You know, he's a big Venice guy. They actually have they've crossed paths a couple times at the coffee shops over there. So Honor de Armas, if you're listening to this, feel free to reach out to anyone that works in this podcast. I'll get the information over to you. And, you know, just consider it as a possibility. Don't, you know, no pressure or anything though.
Yeah, have her people get in touch with our people, and then we'll get our people in touch with your boy.
I want to tell you guys about the people that we're having on as our guests coming up too. It's going to be a great segment. We have Kim and Kevin from Bling Empire, which is a reality TV show on Netflix. We're going to talk to them about what's going on with their lives, their interesting romantic entanglement, if you will. But we're going to get to that just after this quick break, so stay tuned for that.
Hey, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. I am in my wife's glam room. Dean, of course, is in his car with Caitlin. Poor Caitlin, still listening. We have two wonderful guests coming up from the brand new show on Netflix, Bling Empire, which the first season just dropped January 15th, so you can go watch it right now. We have Kim Lee and Kevin Kreider. Kevin and Kim, first of all, how are you? And thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So you guys are both in LA right now.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Bling Empire. So Kim, I'll start with you. How did you get involved in Bling Empire and what made you want to do it?
Long story short, back in 2017, when Crazy Rich Asians movie came out, before Crazy Rich Asians movie came out, John M. Chu, the director, actually sent me a script to read. And I thought at that time, like, what is this, an all Asian cast? So I was on tour and I literally just filmed it in my hotel room. I put zero effort into this. And next thing you know, this movie blows up. It was basically like our Black Panther for Asians. And I've never regretted anything in my life ever. But because of that, you know, Bravo Network reached out to me like a year later, and they're like, hey, we want to do an all Asian reality show. And they asked me to go look for other Asian cast members. And I was like, well, that's not my job. I'll do this for you guys. So
yeah, if you pay me, I'll do it.
It's so crazy. I literally went on my Instagram and I came across Kane's page and I was like, who is this guy? He lives such a lavish lifestyle. So I told Bravo, you guys need to get this guy. So they're like, won't you DM him? I'm like, okay, I'll DM him. And then next thing you know, Kane was like, don't sign anything. You need to meet our people. So that very same night, I went to the Hollywood Hills, met Jeff Jenkins, and he was like, Kim, you are a missing piece. And here we are.
Bada bing, bada boom. How about you, Kev?
My story is a little bit different. I was in Philadelphia. I was looking for a new place in my life. My rent was up and my lease was up. And then I was doing a lot of videos on Asian masculinity and on TED Talks and Huffington Post and what it was like to be like a model as an Asian guy and dating actually as an Asian guy. And that really took off. And Kelly was, at the time, I didn't know she was a producer of anything. And she's just like, you should come to LA. Like, things are better. Crazy Rich Asians exploded. You're now like desired and sought after. And I was like, are you sure? And then I went out and visited her and I met her and I met Kane right away, met the rest of everybody else. And they just said, hey, you should be in a show with this. And I just said to them, I was like, I'm not rich at all. You do know that. I don't want to like devalue your show. And they're like, well, thinking about going a different angle, and I think you get along with them. Why don't you just come along and just see what happens? And I was like, I can do that as long as you don't make me like pay for anything. I'm okay. And that's kind of how it went down.
It's funny that you guys mentioned that, because I kind of when I watched like the teaser or the sizzle or whatever you want to call it, the first thing that came to my mind was Crazy Rich Asians in Los Angeles. So it sounds like that's kind of like the angle. Kim, you said that they talked to you about that movie. You like did audition for a role, or like the role that Constance Wu played? Or, you know,
funny, I think it was Constance Wu. It was like a legit role.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, at that time, I mean, hearing an all Asian cast, I thought it was going to be something cheesy. Oh, that's not going to blow up. And like, what the hell? That really blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was really shocked. It took me like a couple months to like kind of get over it. And I was like, okay, I got to support it. I mean, it is a hit, so.
And this isn't the first time I got asked to be on an all Asian reality. It was like 10 years ago. It was like called K-Town or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, that I got asked.
Sure.
No, I got asked to be on that. And I was flying out to Asia to do modeling and stuff. And it was actually a tough choice because I wanted to be on it. So I actually thought I missed that opportunity. But then it came out and I didn't miss it. It actually saved me because there's no way I would be on this show if I would have taken that one. And so when they asked me to be on it, I was like, this is right up my alley. Like, I'm all about Asian representation and like a new way that Asian guys can be seen in the media and television. And it started happening in movies. So I thought, well, let's start this in reality.
Right. Well, and Kevin, you're like the sex symbol too, of at least of Bling Empire. For
you hear that, Kim? I'm the sex symbol, not you.
Let me rephrase that. The male sex symbol.
Yeah.
No. Now you're trying to make that. Okay, Kim. You heard that. I was the sex symbol.
But you make a good point. That's interesting because, like you said, you did a lot of the like those TEDx talks, and you were talking to Huffington and all that about tell me the lingo because I'm my.
Redefining
Asian male masculinity.
Yep.
Right. So that kind of, it's great because it allows you to do it in like an authentic and organic way through Bling Empire.
Totally. Like, I didn't have to pretend to be anybody else but myself, which is awesome. Like, I didn't have to like learn a new language or play the nerdy, insecure, and like intimidated by everything that's so stereotypical, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I even see some of the shows out there where they just do martial arts all the time. And I don't know martial arts at all. So that kind of limited my roles for anything. I think it was an honor to actually portray that as well alongside with Kim.
Did either one of you have any trepidations going into it and realizing like, holy crap, we're going to put our dating life on display for everyone to see?
Not for me. I was like, dude, my life sucks already. Like, it can't get worse. My dating life sucks already. My career, like, I'm not modeling much anymore. Like, it can't get worse than this.
Well, I think it's going to get a lot better for you then.
It's funny, as much as like, I'm like all on social media and I'm like a public figure, whatever you want to call it. But I'm actually kind of private. So I did have like mixed emotions, you know, getting into this reality show. I'm like, damn, I'm really gonna open up to the world about my dating life and all that. Do I really want to do that? You know, it's a big deal. But
definitely is a big deal.
I got over it, and
you're right though, because like you said, you're a super successful DJ, you're a public figure, people know you on social media, but like going on this show, people are going to see you in a different light than they never seen before, and you're gonna have to really open up. And I remember when
Yeah,
it's crazy. I remember going on The Bachelorette and like it was much different because I was much more like Kevin, where I'm like, I'm a nobody. And so like whatever happens, happens. But then
whoa, Kevin wasn't a nobody. OK,
I don't mean Kevin was a nobody. I meant I was a nobody, not Kevin. All right.
No.
Me as a nobody. Kevin's a very big deal with great abs. OK, I had no abs going on the show.
You look like you have abs now, though.
Oh, much appreciated.
Yeah, show us your abs.
Yeah. I don't want to show off my, it's really just a belly. Come as on, my wife on. Is it's, walking into the room,
easy.
She can attest.
It's just like this. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this guy. Good God. Don't do that when my wife's in the room, all right? She's going to.
No, bring her over. Bring her over.
No. You stay away. Stay far away. Oh, there it is. There they are again.
Kim's very unimpressed. She's seen it too much.
Like, I've been there before.
Well, speaking of you and Kim, you guys I haven't been able to watch the show yet. But I heard that you two have a little bit of sparks flying between you. So I guess my question is, why are you guys not zooming in the same room? You know what I mean?
This is a good start, right? We're zooming in the same room here.
Are you guys in the same room, just different cameras?
Oh. You know what it is for me? I don't know about Kim. Kim, they asked like why we didn't pursue anything. Like, I think first of all, Kim was caught in a really weird time, right? Like she just found out the news about her father. It's kind of like, to me, if I was to make a move or try to pick somebody up at a funeral home, it's creepy to make a real good romantic comedy, but like, this is like real life. Like, I don't want to try to do anything with somebody who I'm friends with in that period, because I also learned from Kelly's situation. She was like in a really weird time. Nobody died or anything, but it was like, she's in a very vulnerable position and I just didn't want to do something like that. That's all.
Did you guys feel any pressure from like the fans or the audience once that became like a possibility or like got put into people's heads? Did you feel pressure from them to like try to make a relationship work at all? Or because I guess as far as I understand it, at least when you filmed the entire show before any of it aired, right? So I understand a lot of that must have been water under the bridge at that point. But was there ever any like reconsiderations or anything like that?
Yeah, can you have any reconsiderations?
You know what's funny? Like, I guess like Kevin and I do have chemistry, but I didn't realize that we do until I had to go back and watch the whole show. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, do we really have chemistry like that? Because to me, like, it's just natural with me and Kevin, you know? Maybe he flirts with me, maybe I flirt with him, but I don't know. You guys are making me feel, I don't know, I'm blushing right now.
I mean, yeah. I feel like we can cut the sexual tension with a knife.
I know.
Just
if you want, Dean and I can hang up. We can give you guys a few minutes.
No, there's definitely, like, I definitely know I felt something, especially during the finale when we were talking. It really made me kind of, I showed, like, I think a different side of me. It wasn't super flirtatious over the edge or something that I would do with Kelly. It was, like, more, I think, deeper. But, like, I don't know. I think we caught more of what people were talking about later as we, before the show even aired. Like, I think for me, during the time when, because we definitely talk and stuff. So I think there's the different relationship we have when we first went into shooting and doing everything.
I got to admit, I guess because of what Kevin went through with, you know, trying finding his family and my situation with my dad, I think it made me feel closer to him. You know what I mean? Like, wow, I can actually talk to somebody about this. And for him to go out of his, way to go look for my biological father, I guess it made me look at him differently, you know?
Well, and let's be honest with ourselves. If you guys had kids, they would be the most attractive kids, I think.
They really would be.
To grace the face of the earth.
You might have to do to better human society.
Well, if we did have kids and they weren't attractive, I'd be like, Kim, this is your fault.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you said in an interview that there were things that attracted you to Kim, but there were some odd things that didn't attract you to her. Something like that, right? What was that about?
Some odd things about Kim. I don't know. I think it's like her mixture of kind of hoodish type of thing, but you're from Malibu, so it's like really confusing me. I'm like, which one are you? Am I going to like get bitch slapped or are you going to love me, you know? It's like, which one is it?
I can back you up if you get into a fight. You want me to be the girl to run away?
When am I going to get in a fight? Plus, no, I don't want you to fight. I don't want you to ruin this.
Yeah.
I'm just I just have a strong personality, and I don't think Kevin's used to that.
Well, Kim, what are some odd things that Kevin does? Mom?
Sorry, did you hang out with my mom? She's got a strong personality.
Well, maybe that's why your mom likes me. Like, she knows what's up. Like, she saw me. She's like, me and his mom get along so well. It's just one of those, like, you see eye to eye right away.
I mean, it seems like we need a season 2 of Bling Empire already just to see where this relationship goes. I need more of this.
I'm down for this. So, Kim, he wanted to ask you, what do you like about me? Yeah. I
was going to say, what are some of the odd things about Kevin?
Oh,
what are some of the things that you like about Kevin, too? Hold on, my wife speaking in. What's up?
Bling Empire. I was so excited to watch that.
Yeah, we did.
I saw the preview the other day. It looks so good.
This is my wife.
Thank you.
Oh, he's taking his shirt off. Kevin's taking his shirt off.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Yeah, it was like number 5 on Netflix. And I was like, no, that looks like a show I can get into.
Well, we'll have to bitch it together. Okay, we'll say hello to Kim and Kevin.
Okay, so nice meeting you guys.
God.
Very cute couple.
Well, you'll have to watch and find out. Oh God. Anyway, we're back to the podcast here. Kim, what are some of the things that you like about Kevin and what are some of the odd things that he does?
Really gonna go there?
Okay. Oh yeah, we
have to. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fine. I mean I love how fun Kevin is, and he's a very sweet, caring guy. He's not that smart, but it's cute. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's really funny. He has a great personality, and obviously he's good looking. The thing that turns me off is, like, I feel like he comes up a little desperate sometimes with females. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, calm down. Like, and I don't know. Maybe this show would change him, though. Who knows? But he comes off a little desperate sometimes, and I'm just like, ugh. Yeah, he gives attention to every single female that gives
not
attention.
Not every. Now
like,
I
need my guy. I need my guy to be a little bougie. Like, I'm too good for you. Like, you know, like, I know I look good, but you can't have this. You know, but
Kevin, hard to get every kind of thing.
Female that gives him attention, he's like, she's hot. I'm like, she is not hot. Bro, you're blind.
That's not true. I don't say she's hot for everybody.
You say she's hot.
No, not to everybody. Just the one. It seems like that because I show you the ones normally. And I show Kane the ones. But it's like, for me, you got to understand, I had no options. Really, I have plenty of options now. I can do that. So if you want that now, I'll do that.
That's what Los Angeles does to you, I feel like.
Yeah. But I would say.
I'm not saying necessarily a man whore, but let's say you move from, I don't know, Philadelphia to Los Angeles, you start seeing a lot more beautiful people on
a
regular basis.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of sparkly things in LA.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
See, Kim was born and raised here, so she's numb to it. I'm from Philly, where it's you don't see all of this all the time. So, of course, the cast is beautiful. Like, I'm going to flirt with a lot of people. Even the married ones.
Well, I heard about that.
Look, speaking from experience, I grew up in a very small town in the mountains in Colorado. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, I was like, whoa, I didn't even know this many beautiful people existed. It was like sensory overload at that point, you know? So I can understand where you're coming from. I'm sure it's the same for Jared, who is from Rhode Island, which is, I think, barely even a state at this point.
Oh, it's like a big city.
Yeah,
right. Town. Right, a big city, exactly. So, I mean, I understand where Kevin's coming from. We can't be too critical of him there. But, okay, so question for you guys. Living the lifestyles that you live, and I know, Kevin, you said, you know, you are kind of like newer to this whole lifestyle, but not necessarily dating each other, but just dating in general. How do you consider it difficult? Is it hard to meet people? And then when you meet those people, is it hard to like stay interested or like just what is dating in general like for you guys now?
I find it really difficult actually here in Los Angeles. Like, it's not because you can't meet people. It's just that you can't kind of share the same values and same path and be able to openly communicate with each other, or I'm too honest. And so people don't really know how to like handle that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like all these girls ask questions and like, hey, do you mind if I like cancel on you tonight, like 1 hour before? And I'm like, no, I don't like that. Like, peace. And then they're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. It's like, well, it's because every guy probably just bends over backwards for you. Like, I'm not doing that, you know? And so my time's valuable. So respect my time, just like I'm respecting your time. And I just find a lot of people here don't respect your time. I think that's actually one thing that I really like about Kim. She respects people's times. So anytime like we talk or hang out or have hung out, she's always on time, which is shocking because really she's busy. She has a lot she could do. And like, she still shows up. So I hear all these like girls from LA and they're like, oh, I'm busy. I was like, you're not busy. You're either really bad at time management, which I want nothing to do with because it's going to bleed into my life. Or you're just not interested. Be honest. And I'm okay with either one, but just be honest with me. Like, I'm just not that interested. Like, I'll schedule you in when I'm free, you know?
That was a great answer.
What about you, Kim?
Dating has been very tough for me, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Because I have high expectations.
Yep.
You're going to answer for me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
he's just affirming everything you're saying.
Yeah, he's backing you
up. I guess I have trust issues. I'm working on it. I don't know. You guys probably gonna be like, this is really strange to a lot of people, but when I meet a person, the first thing I do is go on the Instagram, I look at who they follow. And if I see a guy that's trying to hit on me, and if you're following like 1,000 females, That's an automatic turnoff for me. And red I just flag. Get turned off. And it seems like a normal guy that's hardworking, that's not all up on Instagram. Because I use Instagram differently because I'm a public figure. But I'm not going in there sliding into every dude's DMs like, hey, what's up? Showing him, you know? So I use it differently. So I feel like it's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine. It's funny. It's one of our constant questions that we get from our listeners is like wondering if the guy that they like is like liking a bunch of other girls' pictures on Instagram. And I think Jared and I always kind of say the same thing. It's like, if guys are doing that, like, let's say they follow a bunch of, you know, like Insta model, whatever.
Yeah. Like ass Instagram, models on Instagram,
All the thirst traps, then they're probably sending you a lot of the same messages to a lot of other people rather than just you.
I had a guy literally was like, oh, you're so wifey. Like, you're my wife. You're my type. When am I going to see you? And he's like, I'm a good guy. And I literally go on his Instagram. He likes every single damn photo. He sends the same emoji he sends on my page. I'm like,
no.
I'm stupid.
It didn't stop you. It didn't stop
you. Very smart. I could work for the FBI if I really wanted to.
Well, I got that.
I see everything.
Yeah, so after Bling Empire Season 1, you just go and work for the FBI and we'll be good to go. I like that.
No, I'm so
a natural career path.
Guys, if you guys ever need help to investigate about anybody, I'm the person. I'm just like,
really is. I showed her like one person. Actually, I didn't even show her. I just said, hey, look, there's this new person that I'm like kind of crushing on. And I just said, like, oh, she's Colombian. All of a sudden, in 2 minutes, she's telling me, oh, these are the guys she follows. Oh, this is what she's really into. I was like, how do you even know what it is? And then I was like, I don't even believe you because I didn't even give you a name or anything. And then she said the username and I was like, oh, how did you know?
Damn, that's good. I give you all the credit in the world. Maybe you should work for the FBI. Well, Kim and Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Everybody listening, please, obviously, you probably already watched it by now, but go watch Season 1 of Bling Empire, which is now on Netflix. And of course, follow Kim and Kevin on Instagram, Kim Lee and Kevin Kreider. Thank you so much. You guys were awesome.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for joining us. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys want to do some emails? Maybe we'll take a quick break and jump into some emails with our listeners.
Sounds good.
Sweet. Stay tuned. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. And as we always do over here at your favorite podcast, we're going to wrap up with some listener emails. And if you're listening to this and you've got some questions for us yourself, be sure to email us isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Send them over. We'll answer them, at least our best to answer them. But we got Mark, our trusty Mark, to read them for us. So let's get to it.
All right. So this first one is specifically for Dean and Kaylin. So it's good that she is near you so she can weigh in on this.
What are the odds?
And also, I'm going to read it in three parts because it's three separate questions. Here's the first part from Molly.
Okay.
My boyfriend was injured a few months ago, and since then we have not been very sexually intimate. Dean has talked about how the physical intimacy aspect of his relationship took a hit after his injury, and I'm looking for advice on how to get over that. Has he gotten to the same place he was in before his injury? Did he and Kaylin have conversations about it? How do I communicate this to my boyfriend without making him feel bad?
That is a good question. Well, I guess it really depends on what he injured, because like my hip is a pretty it's a pretty important component to that process, if you will, or that romantic development. So it took me a lot of time to kind of like get back. This is kind of an awkward conversation to have with Kaylin sitting right next to me. It took me a little bit of time to get back to it, and it's taken me a little bit of time to like fully get back into the swing of things. But I think it's a combination of like also being in COVID and all these things. I've been lazy on physical therapy, all that kind of stuff. But I think it probably hurt our relationship a little bit, right? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. It is a very awkward conversation. It's hard too because I know that he's healing and a hip is a huge thing, and fracturing your hip. So you want to be sensitive to that and you want to be respectful and just like, I don't want you to be in pain. So it's kind of, it just takes time.
Yeah, maybe you could do some things that don't require him to move a whole lot.
It's not enjoyable.
If you catch my drift. Caitlin. Yeah. Maybe take that advice yourself too. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I would say just do some things that he would like that don't require him to move a whole lot.
But is it his desire is gone too, as well as his physical abilities? Because it sounds like the desire is not there as well.
I think, well, for me at least, when I was injured, especially over the first few, like, 3 or 4 months, my motivation was really down. I was, like, kind of depressed because I wasn't able to do a lot of things. And I think those things have a pretty significant tie to your sex drive. And so I'm sure a sex drive is diminished because of it. So, like, definitely take that into consideration. A big thing for me and for my sex drive, again, as awkward as this is, to have a conversation with, but communication, like Molly asked, is incredibly important. So it's always good to have these conversations. My sex drive is also linked pretty firmly to the adventuring that I'm doing, like if I'm fulfilled in my adventures, and B, like if I'm feeling physically fit. Like I've been really out of shape, especially since my injury, and I feel like I'm packing on the pounds around like the middle area, you know, like the gut and all that stuff. And so like I feel a little bit of body insecurity, and that's kind of reduced my sex drive a little bit too. So I think there's a lot of things that an injury will have an impact on. And I think a lot of those things also impact your sex drive pretty significantly. So it's like, it's always important to have the conversations about it, but it's probably stuff that'll fix itself once he starts healing more significantly.
I say we title this podcast Dean's Sex Drive.
Yeah.
Make that the headline.
Or lack thereof, in quotation, or in parentheses.
Dean's Sex Drive. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, while Molly has you here, she has a few more questions for Dean. She says, I've always wondered whether or not you went into paradise knowing you wanted to take Caitlin on the date, or if you only decided after your conversation. What was it about her that made you choose her?
That's a good question. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, or maybe with Caitlin privately at some point, but I'll share it here anyways. So yeah, the typical like format for when you arrive into paradise is you probably pull like 3 or 4 people aside, have a conversation with them, see who you might hit it off with more than the rest of them. And then you go on later, like, 5 to 10 minutes later, ask them on a date. And I remember I went down to the beach the first time, pulled a couple people aside. And then I remember like talking to one of my producer friends. He was like, okay, well, like, who are you going to take on a date now? And I remember telling him, I was like, I don't want to take any of them on a date. Not because there was like bad conversation or anything, but because they were all partying quite a lot before I got there. And so they were all like, drunk. And I was like dead sober, as I was the entire time on the beach that time. And I was like, this is just like, it seems like a mess. Like, I don't want to pull any of them away. I don't want them to like, stop partying. And then the producer that I was talking to was like, oh, well, like, you should take Caitlin, like, you guys obviously hit it off, and I think that would be a good date to take her on. And, like, obviously we had, our DMs she slid into the DMs, and we had, like, a little, like, minor conversations before even going there. And I was like, yeah, okay, like, she's obviously the one that I got along the best with. I think she'll be okay with going on the date, too. Because it's funny, like, when I was going the first time in Paradise, or even in Winter Games, it's like, I almost didn't want to go on the dates because it was more fun to like just hang out at the beach or hang out at the house with your friends. And so I was a little timid about doing that. But yeah, I think that answered the question, right?
I think so. And she also is wondering what happened with you and Bree. She actually asks, if Bree had been in paradise when you got there, would you have taken her on the date?
Yeah. Well, this is another awkward question or conversation.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Bree and I like dated for a few months before paradise or anything like that. And I mean, it just as young relationships do, they fall apart for one reason or another. There's no real reason as to why. Just, I think that was kind of the phase of my life too, where I was like, all right, I'm moving everything into a van. I want to be untethered and, I want to be able to like roam as freely as I possibly could. And then, yeah, I think the day that I left Paradise with Caitlin was the same day that Bree came down to the beach. So there wasn't any, like, overlap, which, in all honesty, probably was a good thing because it saved any, like, awkwardness from unraveling, at least on my part and Caitlin's part, I'm sure. So, I don't think I would have taken Bree on a date because we had already been on a date at that point. And I kind of, I think we both would have known what we were in store for. And I think both of us probably would have avoided that, so.
All right. Thank you. Very thorough answers to Molly's very invasive questions. This is from Jane. Jane says, I got married 2 months ago after dating for 2 years. My mother and I are very close, but over the past few years, I noticed her being more and more of a helicopter parent. Now that I'm married, I thought she would let me be a wife and enjoy newlywed life, but that is not the case. She's been inserting herself in all of our decisions. I only talk to her. I don't share with my husband what she says, but we're talking budgeting, jobs, lifestyle, furniture in our house, kids, etc. I realize that she means well, but my question is how to deal with parents' opinions, how to set those boundaries, as I've never been able to have boundaries with her because of guilt. I am an only child, and my father is not in the picture.
This is a good question. One that's Kaylin and I don't really think can answer because neither of us have helicopter parents, really.
I'm upstairs.
I mean, you just have to set boundaries, like Jane said.
I think Jared, this one is like right up your alley.
Yeah, you just have to set boundaries. I mean, that's the first and foremost thing. I mean, you just have to, you kind of have to do the sandwich effect. You know, you tell your mother, listen, I love you very much. You're incredible. And then you tell her like, butt off. You know, I'm a wife. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm an independent person. And then, you know, tell her like, hey, listen, I love you. I still want you to be a part of my life, but you have to give me some independence or else like I'm never going to be able to grow. So I think that's really the answer right there. You have to just like let your boundaries be known. Tell her exactly how you feel. That's not going to hurt her feelings as long as you just, you know, keep repeating the old, you know, sentimental format. I don't know, Mark.
What if she's like giving you advice and you like take in the advice, but then you do something else to kind of like show her that while her advice and criticism is welcome, it's not necessarily like the end all be all because you're still your own individual person and you're married and you guys are still going to do whatever you want, but you still appreciate their input, you know?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how much she's quote unquote helicoptering her. Like, is she just constantly reaching out? Is she also like belittling her? Is Jane like your mom belittling you and be like, don't be stupid, don't like make dumb mistakes? I don't know. It's too hard. It's only, you know, like four sentences, so it's so hard to really know, especially with like a parent-daughter relationship. But just let your boundaries be known.
Have either you or Ashley ever had to deal with anything like that?
No, I mean, Ashley's mom is pretty, I don't want to say, she's definitely not overbearing, but she's like, she tells us every day like, why are we not pregnant yet, why would we not have kids? So that's probably the only aspect that she's overbearing, but I'm very lucky. All our parents are, you know, very respectful of Ashley's and I's independence.
Mark, what about you? Have you ever had experience with that?
No, not really. No, my only feeling on this is that, you know, try to have some empathy for her, look at it through her eyes, where you needed her for everything for so many years, and now you don't anymore, and that's really hard for her to let go of that. But also, I think you let her give her opinion, and then you do whatever you want, because you and your husband made that decision. If she asks you, I told you to do that. Why did you do that? Well, I talked to my husband, and this is the decision we made. I think that way you're setting boundaries, and also just let her know that she's still needed by going to her for actual advice for certain things. Like, there's got to be some stuff you want her opinion on. And if you go to her for that, I think she'll appreciate that. And maybe that'll help kind of calm things down a little bit.
I agree. I think a lot of times, too, it's not necessarily the fact that you do what she's encouraging you to do, but the fact that you're, like hearing her out anyways. You know, like, right. People just want to be heard.
Right.
And so I think obviously you guys know better than I would, but I think that's a big part of it, too, I think. So yeah, I think those are our emails this week, right? Or do we have any others?
That is it, my friend.
You know what, you guys, two emails is not enough. We need more emails. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. If we don't have 5 emails to answer next week, I'm going to absolutely go bananas. So email us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Ask us any type of relationship advice, maybe just questions about the show, like Molly, for instance. And next time I'll make sure Kaylin isn't right next to me, so it's a little less awkward, but I appreciate those because they just lend themselves to better conversation. So isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. What else, Jared? Do you want to say anything else before we get out of here for the week?
Love everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you, of course, to Kim Lee and Kevin Kreider of Bling Empire, which is now playing on Netflix. Definitely go check that out. Dean, please thank Kaylin for putting some input in the emails and for listening to our entire podcast in a car. It must have been pretty brutal. It's probably better than going to Walmart, though. So there's that. That will do it. So make sure everybody tune in next week, where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.